Okay, another brutal day on the markets out there. And this time it's because of the trade wars. Because believe it or not, we're actually in the midst of a Trump trade war. Everything was going fine last night. Trump was announcing a massive, massive, massive investment in the United States. And then during the press conference, this happened.
But so we're going April 2nd. But very importantly, tomorrow tariffs 25% on Canada and 25% on Mexico. And that'll start. So they're going to have a tariff. So what they have to do is build their car plants, frankly, and other things in the United States, in which case they have no tariffs.
But so Trump announced tariffs against the major global trading partners of the United States. And as that happened, that was the official start of what we can now call the Trump trade war. Now, trade wars generally aren't good for markets, right? You can see it here, and I'll show you a couple of charts later, which basically show that trade wars in general aren't good for markets. And the reality is that if we are in a trade war, we need to understand what the implications are for markets and what the implications are for crypto, and specifically how long it'll last, because the crypto markets aren't looking good. So today is all about understanding what these trade wars are about, how long they're going to last, and how long and how badly they can impact crypto. And let me show you, some of it's good and some of it's not good, but you really need to understand both sides. This is not about saying, hey bro, buy the dip, we're going to bounce tomorrow. It's about really understanding what's going on, getting a fundamental understanding of what's going on, and then making informed decisions. So listen, if that sounds good to you, what I need you guys to do is obliterate the like button. Also, if you're not already subscribed to the channel, you know what to do. Subscribe to the channel. Let's get today's alpha on the road, guys. You know, when you're a content creator, you're faced with a decision every single day, right? And the decision is, what kind of show do you make? Do you get the one that's going to make the comments feel happy and tell everyone to buy the dip? Or do you actually tell people exactly what's going on? And today, like always, we're going to tell you guys exactly what's going on in the market and what this trade war is actually about. And also, we're going to look at how long this trade war can actually last, because I think what we're starting to realize now is that this, you know, alt season in Q1 and Q2, it's not going to happen very quickly. And I think we really need to understand what Trump is doing, what Trump's end game is here, why Trump is playing the game that he's playing, and then look at the possibilities or the probabilities of how this game may actually play out. So that is what we're going to be doing here today. If it sounds good to you, obliterate the like button, sit down, enjoy the alpha. If it doesn't, well, then you can leave. Are you leaving or are you staying? You're staying, because you have to stay, because you paid to stay. Anyway, let's get today's alpha on the road. Let's talk about exactly what's happening. I'm counting on you guys to absolutely destroy the like button. In the meantime, let's look at what happened yesterday. Someone said, Rand called this dump. I did tell you yesterday that I didn't think this Trump pump would actually continue. I didn't realize that what would happen is that it would be that the dump would actually be spurred off by a trade or tariff war, right? And you can see that, you know, we were doing very well last night. I'll remind you that Trump was actually, and there was a massive announcement. I don't know if you remember, but when we left yesterday, Trump was announcing a massive, massive, massive deal. And effectively, what he was announcing a $100 billion investment into the United States from Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company, right? That was what Trump was actually announcing. Problem is that in that press conference, as happens in many of the Trump press conferences, the reporters asked Trump a whole lot of questions. And one of the questions led to this response.
We're going April 2nd, but very importantly, tomorrow tariffs 25% on Canada and 25% on Mexico, and that'll start. So they're going to have a tariff. So what they have to do is build their car plants, frankly, and other things in the United States.
So he basically set off a bunch of tariffs against the US's biggest trading partners. And you'll see that in a couple of seconds. And that started to make the markets very, 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 very nervous. If you look at what happened on the TradFi markets yesterday, this is a picture of the TradFi markets yesterday. And the TradFi markets have just opened. You can see the NASDAQ is down another 0.61%. And just in general, in fact, let's just maybe go to our stock bubbles over here. In general, you can see generally most of the stocks are actually down. It's not as brutal as it was yesterday. Let's look at what that actually meant for crypto. So for crypto, again, a bloodbath. In fact, such a bloodbath that we reversed all the gains that we made the previous day based on the Trump tweet, the Trump strategic reserve tweets. Every single one of those gains was actually reversed. And in fact, if you look at the extent of yesterday's reversed, the last 24 hours, crypto saw 460 billion removed from the highs, which means that that the crypto investors have lost 19.1 billion per hour for the last 24 hours straight, which is the steepest sell-off that we've actually seen for a while. That sell-off also knocked the fear and greed back down into back into extreme fear territory. Remember, we bounced from, we were at 10 at one point. We then bounced all the way up to 33 because of the strategic reserve announcement and the crypto summit announcement. And then now after yesterday, we went back into extreme fear. Over $1 billion liquidated, over $18 billion of leverage wiped off the market. If you look at ETH, ETH struggling, let's say struggling to stay above $2,000, believe it or not. This was an asset that was trading just under $4,000 when Trump first announced the tariffs about a month ago, or it was about a month ago when I was in Dubai. And now you got Solana back into the same territory that it was just before. You can see basically, like, just look at the daily candles. You can kind of see one, this is the reserve, the strategic reserve announcement up. Then we had the trade war down. And now we're trading pretty very close to the lows. So all those crypto gains have effectively been evaporated. So now let's understand why this is actually happening, because this is really, you really have to understand this tariff trade war game if you're going to make sense of not only the crypto markets, but also what's happening on the TradFi markets. So let's look at what actually happened, because effectively, ladies and gentlemen, we are now in the effect or the trade war has just begun. As you heard, Trump made tariffs on Canada, tariffs on Mexico, and he increased the tariffs on China. And unlike other times where there's been a lot of bullying, in this case, Canada fought back, China fought back, and the U and Mexico says they are responding. They are responding with tariff and non-tariff measures to the 25% tariffs imposed by the United States. I don't know if Trump thought that that Canada would actually step down, but Trudeau said today, today, after a 30-day pause, the United States administration has decided to proceed with imposing a 25% tariff on Canadian exports, 10% on Canadian energy. Let me be unequivocally clear, there is no justification for these actions. He talks about the fact that Trump was talking about moving, blamed the fentanyl crisis or fentanyl crossing across the border. Trudeau says, look, we did everything that we could. We appointed a fentanyl czar. We did a whole lot of things. And if the tariffs actually go into effect tomorrow, which is effectively today, then Canada will actually be responding. Mexico is responding. China is responding as well. China says we're also going to impose tariffs on 15% on some U.S. goods, China to levy tariffs on some U.S. products, including chicken and soybean. China adds 10 U.S. firms to the unreliable entity list. China to file lawsuit to the World Trade Organization about additional U.S. tariffs. China adds 15 U.S. firms into the export control list. So now we're in a trade war. One country, Trump imposes tariffs on these countries. These tariffs start to reciprocate. And essentially what happens is you've got a war between these countries, all imposing tariffs and trades in one another. So let's look at where we're at. 25% on all goods from Mexico to the United States. So now that means that any good that goes from Mexico into the United States effectively becomes 25% more expensive. 25% on all goods except energy from Canada to the US. So any product that is manufactured in Canada and is coming into the United States now becomes 25% more expensive. 20% tariffs on or many goods from China to the United States. Any product that is being manufactured outside of the US in China and is coming into the US becomes 20% more expensive. 10% on energy from Canada to the United States. 25% retaliatory tariffs on up to $155 billion of goods from USA to Canada. So this is what the war is basically starting to look like. And you can see it visually over here. Now, just to give you an idea of how big these tariffs actually are, as the trade war ramps up, the US average tariff rate is set to rise to levels not seen since the Great Depression. So this is quite a serious trade war. If it continues to pan out the way that it's currently panning out, these are pretty serious tariffs. And the markets don't like trade wars. In fact, Bank of America did a survey, and the survey confirmed that 42% of respondents now see a global trade war as the most bearish development risk for 2025. So what they're saying is it was a 30%. Now 42% of respondents are saying the most bearish thing that can actually happen to markets in this market is a trade war. And it is actually starting to play out. So let's understand how these trade wars actually works and how these tariffs actually work. And for the first thing that you need to do is you need to understand what these tariffs actually are. Okay. So I'll try and break it down for you really, really, really simply. Basically, what a tariff is it's a tax on goods or services being imported from one country into another country, right? So as we saw in this example over here, there were goods that were coming in from Mexico to the United States. And in this case, there's a 25% trade tax, which is now imposed to on that country. Now, why do countries introduce tariffs or trade wars? Well, the first reason why countries introduce tariffs is to make goods from other countries more expensive, right? Now, you've got to ask yourself, why do you want to make goods from other countries more expensive? You want to do that so there's less incentive to import the goods and more incentive to protect local industry by making it more expensive to import goods and therefore cheaper, or creating more incentive to bring the jobs into the United States and to bring jobs, employment, and investment into the United States. Now, what we know that Trump ran on this as part of his election campaign. He said he was going to bring the jobs back to America. He said he was going to bring investment back to America. And by importing these tariffs, what he does is he makes it too expensive to import. And so what some companies actually end up doing is they're saying, look, we're a Taiwanese company. Instead of us sending you goods from Taiwan, we will take that money, we will invest that money in the United States, and we will create the jobs in the United States. And that is exactly what Trump ran on the election campaign with, right? And you can already see that that's already starting to play out. Yesterday, they made an announcement. And what they said, it's a company called Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company. And now what they're saying is that they're going to invest $100 billion in the United States to build five new facilities. Why? Because to make the chips in Taiwan and to pay the tariffs is just not worth it. And so this is what happened when Trump made the announcement last night.
David is sort of the king of intellect in that world. We have some good people. Today, Taiwan Semiconductor, that they will be investing at least $100 billion in new capital in the United States over the next short period of time to build state-of-the-art semiconductor manufacturing facilities. I think mostly it's going to be in Arizona, which is what I understand, which is a great state. I like it because I won it. But I won most of them, actually.
Of course you did.
But I did.
You're tremendous.
We won it big.
So what you're realizing is that the minute that you start threatening countries and companies with tariffs, one of the options is to say, well, what we'll do is we will just build our plants and bring the jobs to the United States, which is amazing for Trump because that's exactly what he campaigned about. And you can see that Trump acknowledges and he knows that this is exactly what he's doing. Just listen to what he said in the same press conference.
Coming in and almost 40% of their company in one signature is to what he does, which is one of the most important businesses in the world. That's an unbelievable thing. When Apple now is going to start building all of their plants here, all because of what we've done in terms of, it's not because he likes me or they like me. They don't probably like me at all. I don't know. I think he likes me a little bit at least.
Oh, I like
but
you.
You know what? It's the incentive we've created. Or the negative incentive. I mean, it's going to be very costly for people to take advantage of this country. They can't come in and steal our money and steal our jobs and take our factories and take our businesses and expect not to be punished. And they're being punished by tariffs. It's a very powerful weapon that politicians haven't used because they were either dishonest, stupid, or paid off in some other form.
So you basically get the drift here. The drift here is Trump wants to bring manufacturing to America. He wants to bring jobs to America. He wants to bring strategic industries to America. How does he do this? He says, okay, hold on a second. If you want to import stuff from companies outside or for countries outside America, well, then you're going to pay a huge tariff until you eventually land up bringing all the jobs and all the strategic industries and all the IP back on shore, which is exactly what Trump is actually doing, right? And so, as they're saying here, Biden spent $280 billion on the CHIPS Act to try and get semiconductors made in America. Trump threatens tariffs, and boom, Taiwan takes the investment and says, we'll just invest $100 billion into the US. This is a fantastic result for the United States long term. I'm sure you'll agree. I think everyone will agree that this is a fantastic job in America, a fantastic long term outcome for the Americans. Also, what you got to remember is that Americans are the biggest importers and the biggest consuming nation in the world, right? And so when you are the biggest consuming nation in the world and the biggest importing nation in the world, you are effectively the most important trade partner for a lot of countries, right? And in this case, when you look at where the United States is importing the majority of its imports from, right? The majority of the United States' imports are actually coming from none other than Mexico, China, and Canada, right? So what Trump is doing, he's very, very, very smart and very strategic. He's broken down. He's basically gone out and said, hold on a second. Which are the biggest countries that the United States is actually doing a business with? Which countries export the most goods to the United States? And the answer is Mexico, China, and Canada. Each of these countries export more than $400 billion of goods into the United States. And at the same time, the United States is sending them stuff, but there's a massive trade deficit, right? And so very, very, very strategically, what Trump has done is he said, let me start with these three nations. These are our biggest trading partners. This is the trading partners where the US spends the most money. And let me start putting tariffs on these countries. And that's exactly what Trump landed up doing. And as I said before, well, these guys just aren't backing down, right? And so that is why you've got the beginning of a trade war here. Now, again, I just want to reiterate one thing here. What Trump has done is he's looked at the countries where the US imports the most and exports the least. Because remember, sometimes you import a whole lot of things, but then you also export a whole lot of things, and somehow that balances. If it doesn't balance, what you get is you get a trade surplus or you get a trade deficit. Now, with these countries specifically, there's a massive trade deficit. What it means is that the US is importing a lot and exporting very little. The US is consuming a lot of their goods, but actually sending out but sending out a lot less. All right, so let's look at why the market doesn't like these tariffs and why the market is reacting the way that the market is reacting to these tariffs. As I said to you before, tariffs are a tax. In this case, 25% tax on all goods bought in from Mexico, 25% on all goods bought in from Canada. It is effectively a tax. Who lands up paying that tax? Well, that's the big question. In the short term, you can't argue one of the Canadian Chamber of Commerce CEO, she said the US tariffs will fail to usher in the golden age coveted by Trump, but instead raise costs for US consumers and producers and disrupt supply chain. Tariffs are a tax on the American people. And that is, I mean, that's just pretty much logical. If you're the biggest consuming nation in the world and you're importing most of your goods, and most of your goods are now going to start getting between 25% and 40% tax. Effectively, even though we love arguing with Peter Schiff, he's right. Because what he's saying, he's saying it's ridiculous for anyone to claim that foreign nations have more to lose from a trade war with the US. Tariffs are taxes on imports. The US is more dependent on imports than any other nation. Therefore, the United States, in the short term, has more to lose from a trade war. And what the market is worried about that if consumers continue to consume, which consumers ultimately will carry on doing, and the consumption is 25% more expensive, what you'll realize is that actually the US, which already has an inflation problem, might have a much bigger inflation problem. Because if you're consuming goods, the goods are going up 25% and you're still consuming the same amount of goods, effectively what's happening is you're pushing up inflation. The problem is that the United States already has an inflation problem. And this inflation problem is the reason why they cannot lower interest rates and stimulate the economy, because they're so scared that inflation will actually go out of hand. And that's why we keep looking at these inflation charts to see what the probability is that the Fed will actually land up cutting interest rates. Also, if you look traditionally at tariffs, unfortunately, are not good for markets. They cause markets to collapse, and sometimes they even cause markets to collapse for a long, long, long time. In fact, some people even argue that the 1929 Great Depression was actually triggered by tariffs in the United States. And we'll talk about that in a couple of seconds. But what you can see is that traditionally, when people talk about tariffs, generally, they're not good for markets. And to make it even worse, markets in general don't recover very quickly from tariff or trade wars. So it's not one of these things where we dip today and then tomorrow we bounce because there's a change in heart. Generally, when markets go down as a result of real tariffs, these tariff things can last for a long time. Now, I'm not going to go back to 1929 to 1931, because that's too many years ago. But you can see sometimes it takes up to 6 months, 2 years to actually bounce back from these tariffs or trade wars. And in talking about the 1929 Great Depression, they talk about the fact that trade wars may have actually caused this. And someone said, soon imports became overly expensive, making it tougher for the jobless to actually buy anything. And then you get to a point where you're trying to protect US trade. You're trying to create employment. The problem is that the people that are unemployed basically can't actually land up buying things. I read this tweet that says, yeah, I voted for Trump, but I never thought he'd be so foolish to actually move forward with 25% tariffs, given the well-documented history of how the Smoot-Hawley Tariff Act of 1930 triggered the onset of the Great Depression. So a lot of people actually blame the Great Depression on tariffs. Markets are in free fall because of the up-and-coming trade war between USA, Canada, Mexico, and China, and the trade war between the US and the EU hasn't even started. Can Donald Trump please stop doing this? It'll only drive prices higher for everyone, which will lead to global inflation. Higher inflation equals higher interest rates, which equals to crypto and stocks dropping even further. Very, very, very true. And let me tell you, I'm 100% sure that Trump actually knows this, right? Because Trump's not an idiot. He knows that tariffs actually increase inflation, and he knows that that the US already has an inflation problem. And so you have to ask yourself a very simple question, right? Why is Trump actually doing this if he knows all the implications? Okay. The first thing that you need to understand is that in the long term, pump is right. The rest of the world seems to forget that the largest, most desired economy always wins the trade war, right? The problem is that the trade war can take months, years, decades. I don't think it'll take decades, but it can take definitely months and definitely years to actually resolve. So why is Trump actually starting a trade war now, or potentially starting a trade war now? Surely he knows better. The truth is, I do believe that Trump knows better. But I also believe that most people, because of their narrative, are trying to play their narrative against Trump. The crypto bros and the stock market people are watching the stock market and going, Trump won't crash the market between today and tomorrow. Why would Trump crash the market? Trump keeps looking at the stock market as a barometer for how well he is doing. And I think it's right. The only thing is that I don't think that Trump is watching the stock market from day to day. I think Trump actually has a four-year plan here. And I think that Trump walked into a situation where he realized that the stock markets were very high, inflation was very high, and that there was nothing that he could do immediately to reduce inflation. There's no silver bullet that Trump can make to actually reduce inflation and get the Fed to stimulate the market, right? There's simply nothing that he could do. He can't go and dictate to Jerome Powell and say, bro, you got to reduce the interest rate, because the Fed is actually independent. I think what's going on here is that a lot of crypto people and even a lot of stock market people are actually playing a short-term game. But I think that Trump is playing a much longer-term game. Remember, Trump is not measuring his performance day by day, but what Trump wants to do is Trump wants to leave a legacy, and he's got 4 years to leave this legacy. He knows that he's not going to be judged on the first 30 days of his presidency. He knows that he's going to be judged on the long-term impact and the legacy that his presidency actually leaves. And so what maybe Trump is willing to do is he's willing to sacrifice short-term gains for long-term legacy gains. And so I read this tweet from Chamath, which I think is maybe not 100% accurate, but definitely a scenario worth talking about. He says, Trump is more popular with the young people than the old people. Most young people don't own any stocks and don't own any homes. Actually, they're very asset light. Trump is also more popular amongst the working and middle class folks. Most of these folks also don't own any assets. So it stands to reason that when asset prices fall, it really has very little impact on the core constituents. To that end, I wouldn't be surprised if Trump has a little reaction then to equity or home prices actually correcting, because that only affects a very small part of the population. Separately, the upside of shrinking these asset prices, specifically in the beginning of a term, gives the above-mentioned folks a legitimate chance to buy into these markets at much lower levels, making equity ownership and home ownership more possible. Once you've got equity ownership and you've got home ownership, and then the prices start going up, then Trump becomes the legend and actually leaves a legacy. And that's why he says, tangentially, if Trump figures out how to get rents lower, he will unite young people and asset-light people into a reliable voting block for the foreseeable future. He'll be giving them the trifecta: cheaper stocks, cheaper homes, lower rent. Said differently, don't presume that the stock market going up is a useful barometer to anyone. In fact, going down may be a better signal for his popularity. Also, we also know that what Trump is trying to do is potentially force Jerome Powell's hands to reduce interest rates. How can Trump force Jerome Powell's hands to reduce interest rates? Well, he needs to reduce inflation. He needs to reduce spend. He needs to create a shock in the US markets. You create the shock in the beginning of your presidency, in the beginning of your term, and then slowly, you create the shock, you get the shock out of the way, and then the rest goes completely up. There was a tweet by Ben Cowan, and I think Ronald Reagan had exactly the same thing. He came into power, the markets actually dropped, and then that led, can you send me that tweet? It led to a very, very, very long recovery. And so what I think the misnomer is, or the misconception is, that Trump is not sitting here watching the markets on a day-to-day basis. Trump is working to a plan. His plan is much, much, much bigger than watching the markets on a day-to-day basis or watching the crypto markets on a four-year cycle or on a cycle-by-cycle basis. He has a legacy to leave. His legacy needs to be left bringing jobs back into America, bringing investment into America, cutting the investment spend, cutting the wasteful and investment spend, and he's making great strides. The problem is that these great strides won't be picked up by the markets on a day-to-day level. And so when it comes to crypto, number one, you need to get out of this conception that everything, this thing, that everything is around the crypto markets. This has got nothing to do with the crypto markets. This is a much, much, much broader global issue. This is a stock market issue. One tick down in the stock market, 1% down in the stock market is probably the equivalent of, I don't know if it's the entire crypto market, but it's a big part of the crypto market. And this is much, much, much bigger than crypto. The second thing you need to take into account is that now, specifically, crypto will suffer every time global markets take a hit. And the reason why that's going to happen is because right now, the majority of the Bitcoin out there that are not held by Michael Saylor and Satoshi are pretty much held by Wall Street type institutions. Wall Street type institutions have two modes, risk on and risk off. And when they go risk off, the Dow Jones is going to suffer, but crypto is going to suffer a whole lot more. And so what you need to realize is that we could be in for quite a long period. When I say quite a long period, it could be 3 months, and it could be 6 months, and it could be 4 months, and it could be 2 months. It could be quite a long period of suffering. And sitting here every single day and hoping that Bitcoin will go back up and go back down, you're not seeing the big picture here. The big picture here is that now we've become an institutional asset. Now we are following global markets and we're taking our lead from global markets. In order for Trump to fix the US markets, some very big and some very tough decisions have to be taken. And unfortunately, crypto is just the tiny, tiny, tiny stepchild of the collateral damage that is about to happen in these massive wars between the two parents. And that's exactly what's going on. And so the best advice that I can give you is to say, look, first of all, we all know exactly how tough it is because we're all here and we're in the trenches every single day. And Elio says, and I agree with him because I think we've both been in the market for pretty much the same amount of time. This is one of the hardest periods in crypto that we've ever seen. The reason why it's so hard is because there's so little liquidity in the market that every single time that there's hopium, the markets pump. The problem is that the next day when the hopium dies, because there's so little liquidity, the markets dump again. And so what happens every time that this happens, every time we get one of these moves, the problem is that we go and wreck a whole lot of traders. When you get a move like this in Solana, let me explain to you what happens. Here, people put in more money than they can afford to invest. And here they get flushed out. and they lose it, and those people never, ever, ever come back. Now, you rinse and repeat that cycle 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 times, and eventually you wipe out retail investors so badly that they don't want to come back into crypto. So what is my best advice to you here in this period? The first thing is, number one, I agree. There are always going to be brutal corrections, and every time that there is a brutal correction, you think it's the end of the world. You think it's going to be a long bear market. But every single time, crypto tends to recover, or specifically the good tokens, the multi-cycle tokens, land up recovering. My best advice to anyone here is hold tokens that you are happy to hold multi-cycle. Don't put in more than you can afford to lose. Don't take a whole lot of leverage, and don't go and overtrade, because the worst mistake that you can do here is to try and overtrade this market. You bought the market on Sunday, you traded it, you were long, you got flushed out on Monday, you've now got less capital. The idea now in this crypto cycle is just to survive and to keep accumulating tokens, at DCAing into tokens at the best levels and the best values that you can actually have, and to start thinking about this as a long-term multi-cycle play. Maybe it'll turn in a month. Maybe it'll turn in a week. Maybe it'll turn in 6 months. You need to be prepared for every single one of those scenarios, right? I'm prepared for every one of those scenarios. Why? I trust Solana. I trust all the plays that I've made on Base, on Sol, on Bitcoin, even some ETH or some ETH-related plays. That is what you need to do. And you need to trust that there is indeed a master plan at work. And I want to show you just how this master plan may actually be at work right now, regardless of what you're reading in the headline. So we read that one of the things that we needed to do was we needed to reduce interest rates. And we know that one of Trump's biggest missions is actually to reduce interest rates. And that was actually reiterated by his new Treasury Secretary, which says we're set to bring interest rates down. They want to bring interest rates down. Problem with interest rates being down is that the economy has been way too hot. And when the economy is so hot, you just can't bring interest rates down, right? Because that would be a big mistake. But actually, there actually has been some news that maybe the economy is not as hot as we thought it was. Because last month, the Atlanta Fed forecast GDP, and now they are forecasting that the GDP is going to slow down so much that it's actually going to slow down by 2.8%. Now, not only is it going to slow down by so much, but from Friday, it was at negative 1.5%. And that was from plus 4% a month ago. What this shows is that the market is anticipating that the US economy is coming to a grinding halt. And you can see it probably better here. It says, the Atlanta Fed is now projecting that Q1 GDP will be minus 2.8%, large contraction. Last week, it was 1.5. 2 weeks ago, it was 2.3. 4 weeks ago, it was 2.9%. What happened? What actually happened here? The model now estimates real GDP growth to be minus 2.8%, down. After this morning's release of the U.S. Census Bureau and the Institute for Supply Management, the now cast of the first quarter, real personal consumption expenditures growth, real private fixed growth fell from 1.3 to 3.5. And so what you can see is that confidence in the economy and a whole lot of other indicators in the economy started to show. The combination of data and its impact on growth outlook came with surveys showing decreasing consumer confidence and worries about rising inflation. And so now what you can see is that we went from a very hot economy to people actually going, wait, hold on. Maybe this economy is not as hot as we actually think. And maybe, trueflation is actually right about inflation, and maybe inflation is actually falling down, and it maybe is at 1.42%. Now, if you're getting a much slower economy than the Fed originally expected, and if you're slowing down the economy a whole lot more because you're threatening people with tariffs, and all of a sudden inflation starts to come down to 1.42%, what does that say for interest rates? Well, I'll show you what it actually says for interest rates. Remember the last time that we spoke, the Fed predicted one interest rate cut for the year. Now we're looking at three. The markets are now forecasting three interest rate cuts for the year. So again, I'm saying to you, you need to stop looking at this market on a day-to-day basis. And you need to stop thinking that Trump is sitting here on a day-to-day basis trying to think about how to pump your bags and how to pump your crypto bags and how to make markets work. And understand that they are playing to a much, much, much bigger, much more sustainable agenda, and an agenda which will ultimately result in the Trump legacy. And that legacy is not to say that Trump pumped your crypto bags 30 to 60 days afterwards. This is a much bigger, much more systemic, multi-continent, multi-country issue which Trump is actually tackling. And you need to understand and acknowledge that he's probably working towards some kind of real game plan. So that is effectively how I would position myself for this market. And as I've said the whole way through this market, manage the downside and let the upside take care of itself. I have no doubt that crypto is going to be very, very, very successful. I have no doubt that the Trump administration is going to be the best administration for blockchain. Remember, we've got the strategic summit at the White House on Friday. I'm not expecting too much out of that specific summit. I'll tell you why I'm not expecting out of it. I'm expecting the following. I'm expecting a whole lot of very smart people to attend the summit. I don't think any announcements will be made at the summit, because the summit is not about announcements. The summit is actually just about discussions. They're going to put the smartest people in the room. They're going to table a whole lot of issues. They're going to ask everyone to comment about the issues. And there's no way that after sitting there for one day with, I don't know, 20, 30 people, I mean, we had a list of potentially the people that could be there. I don't think that they're just going to say, okay, thank you, everyone. It's been an amazing summit. We've all enjoyed our Friday. And now here is a list of how we're going to buy Bitcoin. This is when the strategic reserve is going to be in place. This is a summit. A summit is about discussion. A summit is about listening to everybody. Then what I believe will happen is that the people in charge, David Sacks and his whole working committee, will take back everything that they learned in the summit. They will process it, and then they will draft it for regulation and for legislation and for all the processes that need to happen. I don't believe that there's going to miraculously on Friday be some kind of huge announcement. Thank you for the summit, guys. Here is the strategic reserve. Everything is no longer, we're going to be buying $100 billion worth of Bitcoin. It's not going to happen. Don't buy that hopium on Twitter, because that ain't going to happen. Again, once again, this is a long-term play. The long-term play is for the Trump administration to position themselves as the administration that strategically, through the right regulation and legislation, brought crypto manufacturing or crypto assets onshore, brought the founders back onshore, and actually left a legacy. And it's certainly not about from Monday to Friday announcing the fact that there's going to be a massive reserve. Maybe I'm wrong. I think it's a very, very, very low probability that I'm wrong. But if I'm wrong, that's great. We manage the downside and we let the upside take care of ourselves. You don't need to be trading every dip. You don't need to be putting leverage on every market correction. All you need to do now is to survive and to hold multi-cycle assets and manage the downside and pretty much let the upside take care of itself. That's what I would be doing. In fact, that is exactly what I am doing. There's another address tonight. Tonight, 9 p.m. EST, Trump delivers his first joint address to Congress. Apparently, it's going to be huge. They're talking about bringing back the American dream, the renewal of the American dream. Generally, I think that when Trump talks off a script, and I think here he's going to talk mainly off a script, I think that those are really bullish, really well thought through discussions. I think where Trump goes off and start is in these unscripted press conferences. And that's where we keep getting all these surprises. So I'm expecting a lot of stuff here. If you look at Polymarkets and what could actually come out of this, definitely the word crypto, 47% chance of being mentioned. NATO, 73% chance. Ukraine, 96% chance. Zelensky. There is some speculation. And again, it's speculation. Obviously, no one knows. But the big rumor is that Trump will announce that the US is leaving NATO in his address to the joint session tonight. He says, tomorrow night will be big. I will tell it like it is. I think that would be the biggest shocking news in geopolitics since the fall of the Berlin Wall. I don't know if it's true, but I do believe we should be prepared for anything. I don't know if I'd go into tonight highly over-leveraged, because, you know, it could be good and it could be bad. Generally, I think it will be good, but I'm just saying, watch out. Watch out. Watch out if you're actually doing that. I think that's pretty much what I wanted to cover today. Just a quick reminder, because we said yesterday we'd leave it open for 48 hours. 24 hours if you want to sign up to Frontrunners. That is our internal Discord group. It is where we share alpha. It is where we have trading groups, calls, economics, long-term trades, short-term trades, etc., etc., etc. You can sign up. You have a 30-day money-back guarantee. If you're not happy after 30 days, you can leave. And on top of that, you get a free Bitfunded $100 challenge, and 50 people will get a $10,000 challenge, and 50 people will get a free $25,000 challenge. All you need to do is you need to go to the show, and you need to go to here, and use this link to sign up. Otherwise, it won't work. So you need to use these links to sign up. Sign up to Frontrunners here. You can also go to Bitfunded over here. If you want to claim your Bitfunded challenge, just hit here. And if you do want to sign up to an exchange and you do want to get up to $400 immediately in contract vouchers, use Gate, one of the best exchanges out there. Also a Crypto Banter partner exchange. Guys, I will see you guys again tomorrow. Until then, we're protecting the downside and we're letting the upside take care of itself.